Good morning to one and all. Well, obviously, over the last year, we all know for us in British Columbia, the one that is leading our province on the public health front, which is Dr. Bonnie Henry. We wait for her updates on the daily cases and the restrictions almost like a religious basis. She is given almost a status higher than a celebrity. We follow her to listen for any new news. Well, she is definitely qualified for the job. Just recently I read that she was actually a medical officer in the Royal Canadian Navy for about 10 years. After that, she did a residency in UC San Diego, where she got her Master of Public Health degree. And then she did her residency in Toronto in community medicine and preventative medicine. Now, not only that, the extent of her resume goes beyond what she is trained in, but she worked on the WHO polio program and the Ebola outbreak in Uganda. She also has a number of appointments as medical director at the BCCDC and leading a couple task force in SARS and H1N1. So obviously, she has the credentials and the experience and the expertise in this field. Now, say if somehow I was able to hijack the daily COVID updates, that news feed that Bonnie Henry appears on, and stand up there and say this: "Well, all right, you British Columbians, we're going into full lockdown commencing at 0100 hours, January 14th, all the way to January 21st. That means right now, go buy all your groceries, stock up your fridge, businesses are closed, restaurants are closed, parks are closed, don't even leave your house block. We're going to tackle this in a very restrictive way." Now, if I said that somehow and broadcasted that to everyone, would anybody listen to me? Probably not. First of all, they would probably ask, what authority do I have to make such an announcement? Others will probably want to know, what are my credentials? And that's the thing. I have no authority. The big question everybody would be asking, to sum up, is, who are you? And that's the question that the Jewish leaders we're asking of Jesus in our passage this morning. The question is, who are you? Look down at verse 28 of Mark chapter 11. Verse 28, and say unto him, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" And so let us back up a little bit here. We are in Mark chapter 11. At the beginning of the chapter, Mark 11, verses 1 to 11, is Palm Sunday, and the familiar story that Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. Then in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14, following that, is the next day, it is Monday. Jesus sees the fruitless fig tree, and he curses it. Now, Mark 11, verses 15 to 19 is still Monday. Jesus goes into the temple and he sees all the money changers and how they are taking advantage of the poor and they're extortioning them. And he overthrows the tables. That's Monday. Then the next day is Tuesday morning. Jesus sees the fig tree and teaches a lesson on faith. And shortly after that, still Tuesday, we are in our passage this morning, which is verse 27. So all these events are just fresh, just recent. And so firstly, I want us to notice the point of contention. And verse 28 is asked of Jesus, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gaveth thee this authority to do these things?" Well, what are these things in verse 28? Well, these things are teaching in the temple. Jesus is doing that at the very moment. Then is also these things refer to Jesus' most recent show of power or authority in overthrowing the tables the day prior. In other words, the question being asked in verse 28 is this: by what power, who gave you the power and the authority to teach in the temple and to overthrow the tables in the temple? Who gave you this authority? Remember, Jesus is not an ordained minister. Jesus is not a trained rabbi that went through the Bible colleges of his day. And this is an important question, because if Jesus answered that he was acting under his own authority, then the Jewish leaders might arrest him because they think they were on the basis that he was a crazy megalomaniac. And if Jesus answered that he was acting on the authority of God, then the Jewish leaders might arrest Jesus on the charge of blasphemy. And so the Jewish leaders ask, by what and on whose authority do you do these things? And this is important, because in verse 27, you'll notice it says this: they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Well, notice the people that came to Jesus to ask this question. It says the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Who are these people? Well, these are or were the lawyers of that day. And by law and lawyers, I mean studiers of students of the Torah. They were the experts that studied the law. They were the experts that interpreted the law. They were the experts that taught the law. They had the credentials in the field, and they were the professionals in that field. And the big question is, they were asking of Jesus is, who are you? Where did you get your education? Where did you get your training? Where did you get your authority, your power? Where did you do your ministry? Essentially, who gave you the right to do the things that you're doing now? And don't we see this in our workplace? You see a new employee comes in. He or she is probably in the same tier as us. They are not your supervisor. They come in and they suggest maybe a couple changes to the work policies and the work procedures. And the question that's going on in our heads is, who are you to come in, and what authority do you have over me? You see, we have a problem with authority. And this is prevalent also in the days of the disciples. Turn over to our Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, the context is in the temple with Peter and John. You'll remember Peter and John meeting this lame man who asked for money. And Peter says, well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's the context that we're in. But now, in just shortly after that, in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, as they spake unto the people, as Peter and John spake unto the people, the priests and the captain and of the temple, the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto Peter and John, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, it says, they laid hands on Peter and John and put them in hold or in prison until the next day, for it is now eventide. And then skip in down to verse 7 of Acts chapter 4. It says, and when they had set them in the midst, or they brought them before them, they asked, by what power or what authority or by what name have you done this? Again, the leaders of that day had a problem with authority. By what authority or power, by what name have you done these things? Who gave you the right to do these things? They had a problem with authority. And so what these Jewish leaders back in Mark chapter 11 are insinuating is this: you have no authority unless you are under our authority. This is the big question or statement. Jesus, you have no authority to do these things. You have no training. You don't have the proper education. We don't even know who you are. because the Jewish leaders had an issue with authority. And this is the big revelation. We are just like the Jewish leaders of that day. You see, just as the Jewish leaders had an issue with authority, we also have an issue with authority. We don't like to be told what to do. We feel like it is a violation of our freedom. Well, let's take, for example, the current COVID restrictions that are in place. We have restrictions in place determining who we can meet and how many we can meet outside of our household or immediate family, and depending on our circumstances, whether your household is composed of just you or consists of just one person or a whole family, well, there are different restrictions. And now you'll know that there are certainly people that are not following these BC public health orders that have been put into place. There's a disregard for the authority that has been placed over us. We have a problem with authority when it doesn't go our way. And that's the thing. You want to do finances your way, whether it is how much taxes you want to pay or how much you should tithe. You want to do or run the family unit your way, whether it is the makeup of that family unit, whether it's two dads or two moms. You want to work your way, do work your way. You want to do retirement your way. You want to live your life your way. And it's only when your agenda aligns with God's agenda, or if it's an aspect of your life that you don't care about, then you're willing to submit your way to God's way. And that is not what it means when we as Christians confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If Jesus has come into your life and you call him your Lord or your Master, well, Jesus needs to be that Lord and Master. He needs to be the authority in your life. And that means what Jesus says in the Bible gets to define how you relate to one another. What Jesus says in the Bible defines how your finances should look like, how your family should look like, how your retirement should look like, how you should live your life. And we have to remember that Jesus is exercising his authority in our lives for our own good. Again, we can use the example of the BC health orders. For example, I love socializing. I love conversing with colleagues at work. I love going out for meals with friends. But I also love my extended family. What does this, and then so when Bonnie Henry goes up and says, well, this is the prediction model for what would happen if we keep 100% of our social contacts, if we keep 50% of our social contacts, if we reduce it down to 30% of our social contacts. Well, if we don't impose social distancing restrictions and gathering restrictions, our cases will continue to go through the roof. And the number of cases will go up, and the number of deaths will go up. Well, here's the thing. I love socializing and I love seeing my family, extended family. Well, if I want to see my family, see to it that my family does not get infected and that their lives are not shortened unexpectedly, then I'm going to have to give up something that I love. But you see, it is for my own good, because Jesus is smarter than us and he knows what is best for us. And that when it comes to our lives and what God has defined how we should live it, you see, it is for our own good. And so likewise, when Jesus is your Lord, the Bible defines the way we live for our own good. We just don't see it because we're just blinded by our impulses and our feelings. And so the question is, is Jesus the sole authority in your life? Is he your Lord? This passage this morning is a question of authority. Now back to our passage, the Jewish leaders felt that their authority was in contention. And so they asked Jesus in verse 28 and saying, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? And what did Jesus do? Well, what Jesus did is that he took that question or those two questions, and he used it against those Jewish leaders by asking a question of his own in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And so here's Jesus' question in verse 30. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And so firstly, it was a point of contention. The Jewish leaders wanted to know by whose authority Jesus was doing all these things. You see, the Jewish leaders felt that their authority was slipping away. But secondly, we notice that there was a point of controversy, because the answer to Jesus' question would place the Jewish leaders in a difficult position. And so verse 31 plays out these hypothetical answers to Jesus' question. Verse 31, they, the Jewish leaders, reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, Jesus will say, why then did ye not believe him? Well, you see, the first alternative is to say that John the Baptist, his baptism was from heaven. It was given from a divine appointment. Well, this admission of John's divine authority would compel the Jewish leaders to believe in Jesus. Now, why is that? Well, because Jesus was the forerunner to John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus. See, John preached that he was simply preparing the way of the Lord. That is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 3. And then later in Mark chapter 1 and verse 7, even John the Baptist says this. He preached saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me. And it's the latchet or the shoelace of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose. And so if the Jewish leaders acknowledge John the Baptist, that he has some divine authority, well, they would have to acknowledge Jesus. That is the first hypothetical answer. The second alternative that the Jewish leaders had was to say that the baptism of John was from men. In verse 32, and if we say of men, they fear the people, for all men counted John, for he was a prophet indeed. Now, the second alternative is this. They could say that John the Baptist, his baptism was from men. Well, John the Baptist was a very beloved prophet who had many followers. They recognized John as a prophet. And if the Jewish leaders denied divine authority from God given upon John, then the Jewish leaders would have to fear for their lives. Why? Because all the people recognized that John the Baptist, nevertheless, was a man of God. He was a prophet that was sent by God. And so the Jewish leaders could not answer with these two alternatives to say that it was from heaven or from men. And so the Jewish leaders pleaded ignorance. They said, I don't know. It's like getting into trouble at school if a group of you had gone to trouble, someone threw a stone through a window. Well, obviously, one person threw the stone, but all were involved in the act and maybe conspired to do it. And so if you're before the principal or supervisor and you're being questioned individually, and they ask you, well, who did it? If you say yes, or you say, yes, I know who did it, well, it means you are, that person is in trouble. Or did you do it? And you say, yes, you're in trouble. If you say no, it means, well, they're going to ask you, well, who did it? And then you're going to have to tell the other about the other individual who threw the rock. And that's not going to help either. But if you say, I don't know, it's almost as if you get away with it. And that is what is happening in verse 33. They answered and said unto Jesus, we don't know. We cannot tell. And that's the thing. The Jewish leaders pleaded ignorance. They pleaded ignorance, but it doesn't mean they were ignorant of whose authority or the authority of Jesus. They knew that he was the one that was promised, the Messiah. And that's a thing in our lives. We know who is Lord. We cannot claim that there is unbelief or that there is ignorance, but really what we claim is that we don't believe. There is unbelief in the Jewish leaders. There's unbelief in those people today who are unsaved. Because there's a number of spheres or aspects of in our lives that we see the authority of Jesus. And even then, for us as Christians, is also a word of encouragement to know that Jesus is in power and in authority. Now quickly, let's go over the sphere of authority that Jesus has. Because some may ask, well, what gives Jesus the right? What is his jurisdiction? Well, firstly, in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, Jesus said, and it says in verse 18, all power is given unto me, or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so let's parse this out and flesh this out a bit. What authority what is the extent of Jesus' authority? I have 7 points, compiling some notes as well from John Piper. But keep your Bible and your fingertips handy as we turn to a couple passages. Well, firstly, the extent and the scope of Jesus' authority extends all the way back to creation. Just turn over to John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. John 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was a Word, referring to Jesus, and the Word was of God, and the Word was God. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Well, firstly, the scope of Jesus' authority extends back to creation, that it was all of creation, all of the universe was made through Jesus, by Jesus. Secondly, what we see is Jesus' authority not only extends back to the beginning of time, but is active even in this present moment. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Starting from Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, everything now is in reference to Jesus, his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his Son, and upholding or sustaining all things by the word of his power. And I've used this illustration in the past, and I'll use it again. The misconception is to think that the world is like a spinning top that God spins, and then he goes and he sits back on his lazy boy chair, and he watches it, this world go spinning round and round on his axis according to the laws of thermodynamics in nature. No, God the Son is the very sustainer of the world. He upholds all things by the word of his power. That means Jesus is not sitting back on his chair and reclined. Without his sustaining power, the universe, both material and spiritual, would cease to exist. And so Jesus' authority extends to this very present moment in time. Then thirdly, God's rule, his authority, his power extends to nature. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. It says, are two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, and the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Well, first the illustration in verse 29, then the illustration in verse 30. Some heads are easy to count, some you don't have to count, but every strand of hair on every person is numbered by God. And it doesn't fall unless it is the will of the Father. That is the extent of God's authority. Then the forces of nature are under his control. Mark chapter 4 and verse 41, you remember the famous story. The disciples were in the boat with Jesus, and the winds and the waves were bashing against the sides of the boat. And Jesus calms the storm. And in verse 41, the disciples say this, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, the God's rule or his authority extends to nature. Then fourthly, God has authority, his scope or the extent of his authority is over Satan and his demons. And we see this in the example of Job, where Satan has to literally ask permission to do what he wants to Job. But it's also stated for us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And the last phrase here is that wicked one toucheth him not. You see, God has authority over Satan and his demons. And then fifthly, God has authority over people of authority. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. It says there, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. And it says here, God removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that knoweth understanding. Well, you see, even to people of authority, God has authority over them. Sixthly, God's authority extends over diseases. Yes, even the current pandemic that appears to have controlled and have authority in the way we interact with one another and the activities that we can and cannot do. And in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, you'll remember when Moses was objecting to be the leader for the Israelites, he gave the excuse that he was slow of speech. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And then in verse 11, the Lord says unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the deaf, or the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You see, God's authority extends over diseases. And then seventhly, God's authority is over all acts of men, both saved and unsaved. This is in Acts chapter 4 and verse 26. Acts chapter 4 and verse 26. There it says, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. This is what Peter is preaching. It says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. And then in verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand or God's hand and God's counsel determined before to be done. You see, whatever is determined by God, or whatever we do as wicked people or unsaved people or saved people or as Christians, is already been determined by God. It is an authority that is over all these things. And so we see the extent of God's authority is, it's expansive, is comprehensive, is over all things. And that's an encouragement to us, because or because Jesus and God is over all things and has an authority in over all things? Well, firstly, because he does it for our own good. Second, because he is an authority over our lives, and he is a good authoritative figure. He is a one in authority. We have one in authority that is good, that is gracious, that is merciful, and that is kind. Let me ask you a question. If you were to have a good ruler in your life, would you want a good ruler or a bad ruler? Let me give you an example. Just recently, I was listening to a podcast of journalists, and they were evaluating the last year's events, and they were, of course, evaluating ministers and politicians and how they handled the pandemic. And so they rated mostly federal and provincial ministers of Canada. But you can also lump it together with all the foreign political leaders of the world in the news that we've read. And you can probably surmise that over the last year, there's a difference in between having a good leader to lead this country in and out of the pandemic, and there's a difference between having a bad leader, someone who is an authority, someone who determines what happens in the country. You see, some leaders almost took the approach that, well, there's going to be death, but don't worry, that's going to be the old and elderly, and the young will rebuild it. And so you see, there is a vast difference in a good ruler and a bad ruler. Another example is this: if you go to court and you know you're innocent, do you want a good judge or a bad judge? And you see, for us, the one who is in authority is one that is gracious, one that is merciful, one that is wise, one that is kind, one that is good. And so the question is, who is the sole authority in your life? And if God is the sole authority in your life, do you allow him to define your life the way that the Bible defines how it should be? Or is it the opposite, where we just plead, Lord, you are Lord, but then we go away and we do our own things because we want to be our own authority? And just like the Jewish leaders, we cannot plead ignorance that I don't know, because we already know that Jesus is the sole authority. He is the God, as he is God over the universe and over our lives. And so, is Jesus the sole authority in your life today? And if he is, does it show in your very life? And if you're not saved today, well, you have to submit to Jesus as Lord, to confess that he is Lord and Savior, so that you can come under his power and his authority. Because he is the only one that has the power and authority to cleanse you, to say that your slate has been swept clean, to say that you are cleansed from all unrighteousness and the wages of sin are no more. And if you confess him as Lord and that he is the sole authority in your life, well, he will be gracious and merciful to you as well. So is he the sole authority in your life today? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do not have a tyrant for a God. We do not have one who is given into anger all the time, but we also have a God who is gracious and merciful to us. Gracious and merciful that yet in our sinfulness, you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so we pray that as we are calling you our Lord, that it will stay and remain true in our lives, that every aspect in our lives will be done for the glory of God, will be done according to how you want it to be done, according to your will and your way. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.